We return to Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. So we'll complete Matthew 20 this evening. Hear now the word of the Lord. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Well, we've gotten through a rather lengthy series, if you will, in chapters 18 through part of 20 on the need to be humble. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. Come as little children before the Lord. So here we see people who are very humble crying out to the Lord, and though all the proud people say, "Be quiet," he stops and he hears them, and he answers their call. He answers their request. This text is similar to Matthew 9, when we were back in Matthew 9 quite a while ago, verses 27 to 33. There, two blind men were following after Jesus. How they were following after, I imagine they had others leading them by the elbow or something, but they were following Jesus, and he went to their home, and he healed them in their home. There's a lot of similarities to the story here, but some differences. Here, these two blind men hear Jesus passing by. They are begging, sitting on the road. And in this case, he simply heals them right there. In both of those cases, Matthew 9 and tonight's text, these blind men know that he is the Son of David. They cry out, "Son of David, Son of David!" Crying out because they know he has the authority and the power to heal. He is the Messiah. That's the Son of David reference. He's the miracle healing worker. And their ears work just fine. Their hearing is very good. They have heard about this Jesus. They've heard about all of the miracles. They've heard about the healing of many who were blind. Matthew 15, verse 31 summarizes the healing ministry of Christ to prove his preaching ministry of who he was, the Messiah. And as prophesied, he would heal many, including often the blind. So they've heard about him. And now when Jesus is passing by, they also heard him. They hear something's going on. The multitudes are following him. They hear that it's Jesus. And they don't just sit there and listen. They cry out to him. They need to cry out to him. They're not capable of really coming after him with all that multitude trying to make their way through. They're blind men. They're beggars on the way. And they're crying out, "Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, please have mercy on us." They heard him passing by, and as he passed by, they made sure that he heard them, that they were heard by him. And they are your example, beloved, to follow, seeking out Christ, seeking after his enlightenment. We are often too prone to think that we see everything just great. Our vision is 20/20 spiritually. We are too prone to think, "Oh, we've been raised in the church, or we've been in the church a long time, we've heard the truth, and we think we see it all clearly." And we have to recognize our need for him more and more, and to have this same response to him, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me, open my eyes." You see, beloved, though we are blind and we are rejected, if we keep begging Christ, to accept our cries to him, he will open our eyes. That's the message of the text. Though we are blind and rejected, if we keep begging Christ to hear our cries, he will open our eyes. God help us if we're too blind to see it and too proud to beg and recognize our blindness. See, that's the first thing we need help seeing, that we're blind. We're blind to truth. We're blind to the scriptures. We're blind to spiritual realities. Our spiritual senses are so dull, and we need him. But as we do cry out to him, he will stop and hear, and he will answer. And notice immediately, we just need to care enough to cry. You need Christ to help you see what he is saying in the word. You cannot see what he is saying without him giving you sight. You need Christ to perceive his providences in your life. As you say, I don't see it in the text. I don't see it in my life. I don't see the point. I don't see what's going on. Cry out to Jesus. Beg the Son of David to have mercy on you and expect an answer. Expect to be given insight, perception, an ability to see things the way he sees them as you ask him to show you. And have your eyes opened. Ask Christ for sight, and you will see. That's the message for you this evening. Ask Christ for sight, and you will see. When the disciples, a little while ago, they tried in chapter 19 to deny parents who were bringing their children to Jesus. What are you doing? Don't bother the master. Get these children away. Jesus was indignant towards them, and he insisted to receive the children. He laid his hands upon them, and he blessed them. But similarly, they're trying to keep people who were too needy, too humble away. Not the kind of people Jesus needs to waste his time on. Jesus says, stop it, bring them to me. You see, Jesus had a heart for helpless infants. And so tonight we see once again, Jesus has a heart for helpless adults. We just need to recognize by the gift of spiritual sight that we are among them. Jesus has a heart for helpless adults. Even though the multitude told them, these two blind men, to shut up. Stay out of their way. Stay away from Jesus. Christ responds to them. He stops. He's still. And he hears their cries for help. Why? Verse 34. Because he has a heart of compassion. And we have seen this come up many times in Matthew. He stops to speak. He stops to feed. He stops to heal. Even though sometimes he's terribly tired, he continues to answer when people cry because he has compassion. He has a heart to meet needs. Literally in the Greek, bowels. And you'll see that sometimes in the scriptures, have bowels of compassion for one another. Paul says, in your gut. This isn't to say that he doesn't have other things as he works with people, but when he sees real suffering, real crying over suffering, he has compassion. He has a heart. Again, this has come up many times in Matthew. He has compassion. I love what Matthew Henry says here. Misery is the object of mercy. If you'll forgive me, I can't help but think of another comment we often say is misery loves company. Well, in this case, may we keep good company together and recognize our misery and ask for mercy. Misery is the object of mercy. Are you miserable? Are you miserably blind to the word of God? Miserably blind to your surroundings? Miserably blind to your situations and what the scriptures say to them. Why may not you be the object of the Messiah's mercy? Regularly ask Jesus to help you open up his word and your spiritual sight. having a difficulty opening the Bible, cry out to Jesus. Show me where the Bible is. Show me my Bible. Show me where I left off. Show me where to read. Show me what it's saying. Give me eyes for the light of your scripture. And then give me eyes to see what you're saying, that you'd keep me there and fill me with your light. You don't have to feel as if nothing can be done. Cry out to Christ. He has compassion. Pray and sing Psalm 36, verse 9, we sang this evening. For with thee, with the Lord, is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. You see, we need to recognize again, we're blind without Christ. We're dead if he doesn't breathe life into us, and we're blind if he doesn't put his light into us. But in his light, we shall see light. And with his light in our eyes, that can change the whole body. And he, being the light of the world, will make us more and more the light of the world as we remember to rely on him and not our own ability, so we think, to see and discern properly. We need the glasses of the scriptures, and we need God Almighty to adjust our ability to use them. Sing and pray Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Pray that the Lord God would open your eyes to recognize your need to shut other things and open your Bible. Pray that the Lord would answer that request, and as you open your Bible, he would show you his word. Open light as you open the pages. Show himself to you. And help you see Christ there. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's a prayer, not infrequently on the lips of your pastor as he begins to work on the research, the exegesis, and the development of the sermons from the text for you. Help me make sure that I see what you're saying, and say what you're saying, and help your people to see it as well. Open our eyes. It's there. Give us an ability to see what's there. Beloved, don't pretend you see everything. Don't pretend you already see everything. Don't be afraid to keep turning to the light of the world until he sheds light on your world and opens your eyes to perceive his precepts and to perceive his providence. Granted, providence is often, as Thomas Watson says, looking back on your journal and recognizing later what God did. But it's also an ability to trust that he is doing something good, Romans 8, 28. Even when you can't see it, you can see from the scriptures that God is saying he's doing something in it. Matthew Henry highlights some examples we can follow from these two blind men who receive their sight, have their eyes opened, because they just don't let people get in the way of Jesus. In a sense, they're doing what Zacchaeus does, climb up a tree to make sure they can see Jesus. And Jesus says, bring me to your home. Salvation comes to the home, and therefore so does happiness, as scales are brought off our eyes. Matthew Henry says there's four things that we see as the example of these blind men for you and I in asking God to give us sight, especially spiritual sight, recognizing that these miracles were things Jesus was doing to prove that he was the Messiah. It isn't wrong for us to ask for healing, to ask the Lord to restore our sight if it is weak, but we can have perfect 20/20 vision in our eyeballs and be completely blind about everything else. And if we had to choose one, we should wish to be blind with our eyes and to be able to see with spiritual eyes. Walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, four things from Matthew Henry, the example to follow of these two blind men crying out to Jesus and therefore get their sight. First of all, importunity in prayer. Importunity in prayer. This is an older English word, although we use it a lot in our standards and in the scriptures. Importunity means persistence to the point of annoyance. You know, sometimes our kids get something from us because they just won't stop. Sometimes we're, no, wait, no, they don't get our attention, but they're smart sometimes. They keep asking why, because sometimes they're able to get our attention. Well, Jesus gives that example with one of the parables, right? The judge, he's an unjust judge. But why does the woman get his attention and an answer from him? Because she wouldn't stop, right? We're to be praying with importunity. We are to persist to the point of annoyance. Naturally, we can't annoy God. We might annoy everyone else. Maybe we keep asking for the same prayer request, right? And the multitude says, stop, be quiet. No, I'm going to keep asking. I need this. I need this from Jesus. Please, if you won't pray with me, I'll ask somebody else to pray with me. I'm going to keep asking. A good reason to keep prayer list. I'm convicted that I think we too often we have these prayer needs that we have, and how long do we pray for them? A couple of days? A couple of weeks? How much are we just constantly asking God for something, begging him constantly? So the first thing they give us an example, Matthew Henry says, is importunity, persistence to the point of annoyance. Notice two times, verse 30 and 31, they cry out to the Son of David. They cry out to the Son of David, and they will not be stopped by the people telling them to shut up. No. Lord, help me. Let's do it again. Don't be stopped. Number two, humility. They say, have mercy on us. They don't insist by any kind of right or thinking they deserve anything. They know they're sinners. They know that any ailment we have is the effect of sin. It may not be directly related, but we're in a sin-scarred world. And they don't make demands of Jesus. They beg him. They ask for mercy. Mercy is giving us something when we don't deserve it. Not giving us things we do deserve. Twice they say, mercy, have mercy, and they call him Lord. So we need to make sure as we approach Jesus, crying out to him constantly to the point that we could annoy other people, we yet need to be humble about it. Going to the throne of mercy, nonetheless, seeking throne of grace, seeking mercy in our time of need, as in Hebrews. Number three, faith. Faith. Obviously, they believed Jesus could heal them, right? You don't do what you don't believe. Sadly, if you believe something that's not true or evil, you still act upon it. We see all kinds of things happen because of false beliefs if you believe it. But you got to have true belief, true faith and trust in Jesus that he really can do this, that he wants to do these things. We can't presume upon him, but we can know that he can do this. He has the power and ability to do it. And so why are they crying out to him so loud? Because they've heard. He's been doing it. He's been healing multitudes. That's why they're following him. Sadly, not so much for the word preached. They usually leave him when he preaches the truth. They're following for the food and they're following for the healings. But there are a lot of healings and there are a lot of blind people being healed. Again, including two blind men in a very similar situation earlier on. So they have faith. If for them, why not me? What is stopping me from going to Jesus? Because he can do it. Now, again, we need to recognize that this is a special time in redemptive history. If we cry out and beg the Lord for a healing mercy and he answers no, it doesn't necessarily mean we don't have faith or that we did not have approach with importunity and humility. But there's still the application for us in our lives, especially as it relates to spiritual sight, spiritual insight. Nothing is stopping us from growing in our knowledge of the Lord and of his word and having spiritual perception. Nothing is stopping us but us. And we can't even blame others because all we do is let them stop us if that happens. Nothing is stopping us from crying out to Jesus for sight in the scriptures and by the Spirit. Have faith. In Matthew chapter 9, when he healed those other two blind men, do you remember a question he asked them? Do you believe I can do this? And how many times have we seen in this gospel when someone is healed, he commends their faith. Your faith has made you well. I've never seen faith like this even in Israel. He's always commending faith as what leads to this kind of prayer. Fourth, Matthew Henry points out perseverance. Pray with perseverance. So following their example, pray with importunity, pray with humility, pray with faith, and pray with perseverance. Now, if you're like me, I stopped and said, well, isn't that the same thing as importunity, perseverance? Importunity is persistence to the point of annoying someone, right? Well, perseverance may be a little bit of a different idea. Persistence despite difficulty. Persistence despite difficulty. Well, Satan is just wanting to stop you all the time from looking for anything spiritual, having eyes for anything of Christ. And if you even try, he wants to distract your gaze immediately from the scriptures and from the things of the Spirit. There are always going to be great difficulties in your way to get to Jesus and have him restore your sight in the scriptures. So lastly, you need perseverance, persistence when there is difficulty. These are spiritual disciplines, remember. In Mark's gospel sharing this story, he adds to what I think is given. They're sitting on the road. They are beggars. They are beggars. They're out there begging. So it's not so hard for them to beg to Jesus because they have no choice but to basically be beggars. Beggars get responses. Beggars get responses. Think back to Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. The Canaanite woman kept crying out for her daughter to be healed, though they tried to quiet her and they tried to send her away. But she wouldn't be stopped. And she called him the Son of David, cried out for mercy the same ways, but she would not be stopped. She wouldn't be sent away from Jesus. And in that text, we see that Jesus challenged her faith and commended a faith that persistently pursues him and his answer. He lets her ask for a while to see that no is not an answer that necessarily means no. It means keep asking. Excuse me, no answer doesn't mean an answer of no. It means keep asking. Maybe you feel you don't ever get an answer from God. Well, you probably do in ways that you just can't see. Ask him to help to open your eyes. But then there's just plenty of times where he says, you haven't really asked me yet, not really. Keep asking. Jesus approves of you proving your faith in persistent prayer that gets his answer. The message, the sermon for that text was, constantly cry out to Jesus Christ. And this is what we see all through Matthew. The ones who keep coming after him, even when people are trying to stop them, they're the ones that get an answer from Jesus. Don't be too proud to beg, beloved. There's a real danger to admit we need to know something. There's a real danger to admit spiritual blindness and blindness to the scriptures and ignorance. And I think in our context of Reformed churches, there can be even a greater danger not to want to admit we don't know something. But we have so much still to learn. The scriptures are wide and broad and deep and full. We're never done learning. We're never in a place where we don't need to beg Jesus to help us see something. And if we're struggling to see it, beg him to help us see. Shout out to the Savior. Verse 32, notice the response they get from Jesus by shouting out twice, have mercy on us, Son of David. Try to imagine all these people passing by. It's a loud situation. It's a busy, crowded situation. And they're crying out. They had to be crying out really loud to get his attention. And what happens? First of all, we see that Jesus called them. Come here. And then he inquires, what do you want me to do for you? But what happened first? This is such an amazing thing. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it. He stood still. Try to imagine that. Jesus is walking. He's getting close to Jerusalem. You're going to see in 21, they try to make him king. They want him to take the kingdom now. He is growing in popularity before they're going to ultimately betray him and kill him, but they're all following him. The city shakes in Jerusalem when he arrives. And so this fanfare and this multitude of people are following him, and he's in the midst walking. And just as one time when a woman touched the hem of his coat, he said, "Who touched me?" So he hears and he stands still. Try to imagine that. No one else is listening. They say, "Shut up, shut up, shut up." Don't think that can't be Christ for you if you're not too proud to beg. Help me see. Watch him stand still and give you sight as he looks and sees you, crying out to him for just that. I love what Charles Spurgeon says. Believing cries can hold the Son of God by the feet. Now think about it. As a beggar, just grab onto his feet and you don't stop begging. Just as Jacob wouldn't let go until God blessed him all night long wrestling. I'll say that again. Think of Jesus standing still in that loud crowd. Believing cries can hold the Son of God by the feet. He goes on to say, or rather he says earlier, some men are urged onward by all attempts to call them back. When we are seeking the Lord, we shall be wise to make every hindrance into a stimulus. Well, may the Lord open our eyes to see that truth, because you and I are too quick to be paralyzed by hindrances and see them as roadblocks and stop signs, when we should recognize them as places to be stimulated to cry more. When people are trying to stop us, we need to be careful not to see it what plenty of people will want to say it is and how they will see it. The Lord abandons us. The Lord doesn't hear us. The Lord is not with us. No, we just need to keep clinging to the feet of Christ, kissing them, washing his feet with our hair and our tears, and saying, "Please give me sight. Show me what you're doing here. Show us what you're doing and keep our eyes on you, Lord. See that you need to see, beloved, and seek him until you see what you need to see." Keep crying out for spiritual insight. Keep crying out for enlightenment that will light your whole body. Trust Jesus to touch your eyes as he did them. Imagine that too. Not only did he stop and then he talked to them, and then what did he do? He touched their eyes. And immediately they saw. Be encouraged by that. Don't think that it might take so long for the Lord to help you and to give you insight and to help you know his scriptures better and see and trust things that he's doing. See Jesus more in your life than you're able to see him. Don't think it necessarily has to take that long. What's stopping us often is we're just not clinging to his feet, begging him. We think we can see it on our own. We trust in ourselves. We don't like to think that we're beggars on the roadside. We like to think that we're in the caravan with Christ, and frankly, we like to think that we are the ones sitting on the throne along the way. And so we don't see a whole lot from there but ourselves. May the Lord help us to bow down, cling to his feet, and say, "Show me you, Jesus, that we would see him." In every area of your life, don't be afraid to sing with all your soul, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you." Ask Christ for sight, and you will see. Beg him. Believe. Don't stop. Ask Christ for sight, and you will see. Let us pray. We thank you, Almighty God, that here we have this example to follow, this encouragement to trust, that as we beg you in our blindness, you will open our eyes. As we struggle to see you in our lives, as we struggle to see your scriptures and what you're saying, as we beg to you, you will answer us. You will stop and turn and inquire. Call us to you and touch our eyes. O Lord, indeed, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law, and that it will help us interpret our things in our lives, your providences. Help us to see you. Help us to keep crying unto you, constantly crying that you would give us spiritual healing, that you would take the scales off of our eyes, that you would fix our eyes on Jesus better, the author and finisher of our faith, that you cause us to be believing, increase our faith, and indeed, Lord, show us our sins that are in the way of these kinds of cries and spiritual sight. Show us the truth about ourselves. Put us on our knees that we would look up to you. Help us to recognize our utter dependence upon you, that we would cry out, shout out to you, our Savior. Pray, Lord, that you would make us aware, show us our spiritual neediness each moment, every morning, every evening. Show us our constant need to look to you and to see you working in our lives, to see you there with us, never forsaking us when we feel forsaken, to remember we are cast down but not forsaken. Help us to be able to see things as they truly are, just as the revelation we've been reading in the evening shows us the way things really are, not according to the way they appear. Oh, let us walk by faith with spiritual eyes and not by sight according to what we see in this world. And help us to interpret everything according to your scriptures. Take the scales off our eyes. Give us your light that we would see light. And help us to recognize, to be aware and perceive the darkness all around us. And too often within us, and too often blocking our vision. Cleanse us. Renew us. Touch our eyes. Touch our hearts. Let our spiritual vision with the scriptures be 20/20. Let us see you as you are, our glorious King. Able to redeem, able and willing to save to the uttermost. Happy to have us follow you. So let us see that also in the text, O Lord, just as when you called the apostles, when you healed these blind men, they immediately followed you. You enabled them to see you. So, Lord, heal us. Give us eyes for Christ and let us immediately follow you to show to ourselves and others that we are Christ's and he is ours. We beg you, Lord, show us our areas of particular blindness. Show us our areas of particular need to have our eyes restored and give us sight. Show us a new way to look at things according to what you reveal in your scriptures about yourself, about this world, about ourselves in this life. Fix our eyes indeed again on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord as we seek to be citizens of your kingdom, following you wherever you lead. And so we pray to you, O great shepherd of the sheep, closing as you prayed, as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.